This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever. Who cares at this point?
The rant with the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready.
Like the staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Eyes on the road.
And
you feel your back's on the road.
But your back's against
the road. You gotta take the highs with the low.
The highs with the low.
Gotta take the highs with the low. You're lost and you're running out of hope. Looking for the best way to cope.
For the best way to cope.
Cause know we all been there before.
We all been there.
Gotta take the highs with the lows.
I was feeling lifeless. I had to cut my vices. Now the feeling that I feel is priceless.
I was feeling lifeless. Had to cut my vices. Now the feeling that I feel is priceless. That's a bar. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.D. Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I got to start by thanking you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to come and chill, listen to my random ramblings, whatever it is I do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Running up on some milestones in terms of numbers and things soon, so I don't know what I'm going to do when I hit those numbers. Maybe a giveaway, maybe I don't know what the hell I'm going to do, but we're going to do something. We're going to celebrate. First, let me apologize. You know, I know I'm running late this week. It's just life has been life, and possibly overcommitted a little bit. I'm working on a lot of things. The League of Kings podcast is doing well. We just recorded episode 10, which, you know, isn't going to come out for some time, but feels dope to be double digits in on that show. Kiss the Sky on Opulence Radio is back, so I'm recording those. I got 2 hours now, so I really get to play, you know, all the music that I want to play and just have the conversations that I want to have with myself most of the time, also with guests. I'm trying to get accustomed to, like, 2 hours. A two-hour show solo is way crazier than I had envisioned when I signed on to do it, but, you know, I'm up for the challenge, and I'm having fun doing it, so yeah. Opulence Radio has fully relaunched now. If you haven't downloaded the app, what are you doing? You know, get busy, opulenceradio.com, or check out your app store, download the app, tune in. It's a lot of great content. I have two shows that I'm a part of, and then I know a lot of other dope content creators are also there. So it's a place you want to be. Support black businesses. It's going down. Opulence Radio. But yeah, I've just got a lot going on right now. I'm a little late this week because, yeah, I spent my Sunday recording everything but this. And when it came time for me to get around to record my episode, I was done. I need a more comfortable chair. I was sitting here for way too many hours recording things. I just didn't have another half an hour in me. Pause. But it is what it is. But let's start the show the way we always do. Got to do the Chef Elise Report.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am. Feeling a little better about my status as a dad this week. You know, first thing, when I talk about life has been life, and I talked about it on Kiss the Sky, but in case you don't listen to Kiss the Sky, which is, I don't blasphemy, you know, fuck is you doing on a Friday night? But I had, like, my first accident maybe like a month or so ago, and no other cars, no human beings, nothing like that involved. Hit a light post, whatever. Just distracted driving, moment of stupidity, whatever you want to call it. I thought it was just a simple, like, I hit a light post. I couldn't have been going no more than like 8 miles an hour when I hit this thing. But I took it to a couple different shops and was going through the insurance. Turns out, I guess fucking cars are made out of paper mache these days. Whatever this 8 mile an hour collision with a stationary object is a total loss. Car was total. So just last week, finally got around to, not got around to, but just finally got in a position where I could purchase something else. So bought a new car. I'm mobile again, so I can get places and do things with Chef Elise that, you know, I haven't been able to do. So I was able to attend her award ceremony. Like, her school has award ceremonies at like 8 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. They just, something about Pflugerville Independent School District, they just don't give a fuck about your job. They just really don't. They don't care at all. Everything that they do is going to be during prime work hours in the middle of the week. But it's my baby girl. And they do send you like an email to let you know that your child is receiving an award, which is dope. Because I guess that makes it so that parents who know their kids ain't getting shit don't have to waste their time going up there. But you know, if you're there, it's because you got an email to let you know your child was getting an award. So you might want to be there to see it. So I was able to make the trip up there to see her get the award. And it was Tuesday of last week, which happened to be Halloween. She was dressed up. She was Princess Peach for Halloween. But she won a couple of awards. It was very dope. I was super proud of her. She got a STEM award. She got a perfect attendance award. And then she got the All-A Honor Roll. And so when I heard like All-A Honor Roll and then her name got called, super hype. Like, I will admit, I think they sent the report cards out. I think y'all heard me talk about these report cards from the school district. I don't understand them. They don't make sense. They multiple pages. I'm like, why is it this much information? Like, this is just let me know. Is she doing good or is she not? Like, you know what I'm saying? Is she all right? Or do I need to start looking into some tutoring or outside counseling or help or something to get her through this thing? So they may have sent the email with the report card. Yeah, report cards is emails now. Like, I really feel old. I really feel old these days. Like, report cards is emails. I remember when they had to come home, when you had to come home with that thing and you had to get it signed. So you know, if you was fucking up, you was about to have that awkward moment. You either knew you was going to get your ass whipped, maybe you prepared for it, you know. I don't know. You hit all the belts or something, or went outside and knocked all the tree limbs down or something, whatever you did to try to prepare for whatever was going to happen to you. But you knew there was a moment to be had. At least didn't even know she got a report card. Neither did I. But All-A Honor Roll, and I was super proud for like 2 minutes because they just like kept calling names. And then I realized like 80% of the damn class got the honor roll. For some reason that took something away from me. Like, I, you know, the all A's was supposed to be like accomplishment, put you in some rare air or put you in, you know, in an elite class. Not everybody can be there. When everybody's there, it's like, what the fuck? Everybody, like, y'all just giving away A's? I know some of these kids is not that bright. I know. I'm looking at them. I can tell. But everybody got all A's? It's crazy. So to me, it makes sense now that they send an email to tell you that your kid is receiving an award. Because if I showed up to that assembly and watched the entire class end up on the All-A Honor Roll and your little ass is still sitting there, it's a problem. It's going to be a problem. So I feel for those kids. I really do. The other crazy thing that bothered me, and this is, maybe it's just me, I don't know. But, you know, I live in Texas. My daughter goes to a school district where there's not a lot of people that look like her, you know, just setting the stage. Happened to be one little black boy in the class that, you know, I could see. Maybe it was more than just one, but he got a couple of awards, so he kept getting up. And my man decided to dress up as the police for Halloween. And I felt some kind of way about that. Of all the things you could be Spider-Man. If you want to fight crime, like, this is the time to be Spider-Man. Be Thor, be the Avengers, Batman, Superman. I don't really care. Be Charles Bronson for all I care. You could be Jean-Claude Van Damme, Black Dynamite. It's a million shits you could have went as. But the police, and I'm going to say the police, because that's how I feel when that's how I felt when I seen the little dude in his outfit. Like, I ain't from Baltimore. I don't normally say police, but that's how I read what was on the back of his shirt when he walked up there. You the police, for real? It just, I don't know. He sent a message that I ain't like to the rest of the parents. But other than that, it was a great time. Got to see her. She was surprised to see me. We sat down, we took some pictures. My ex-wife took a couple pictures of me and my daughter together. And when I looked at them, when she sent them to me, the first thing, I didn't even see my daughter. The first thing that crossed my mind was like, shit, I look just like my dad. And it fucked me up. And then I tried to make the joke with a couple people that wasn't. I mean, it didn't go over well. I guess it wasn't a good joke. But I was like, shit, these pictures, in these pictures, I look just like my dad, except my kid is there. Like, you know, I don't know. I make fun of my trauma and stuff because if I can laugh at it, I can get past it. But I did look just like that nigga, other than the fact that I don't think I have a picture with my dad at all. And like, it's not like he wasn't around. I didn't know who he was. Like, he wasn't around, but he was in the city and I knew who he was and he knew who I was. I was using his address most of the time, but whatever. I'm growing. The relationship that Chef Elise and I have is much better than I had with my parents. Shouts to my mom, though. But I think we have a dope relationship. I'm growing. But like I said, this was a good dad week. So I went to the award ceremony. I look like my dad, but I'm present. I got to see a little black dude in a police outfit, which was weird. And then like 90% of the class get all A's, which now I'm questioning the grading system. But I left there, had my day with work, and then, you know, was faced with the choice of whether I want to go back up and do trick or treat. Now, the weird thing is for me is that I never really did trick or treat as a kid. One, because I grew up, you know, in the D.C. area. I'm sure trick or treat was a thing around there, but I just don't remember a whole lot of kids doing it. And you know, my mom was super religious, so we definitely didn't do it. I normally, every year for Halloween, and this is another traumatic thing for me, because my mom was so religious, for Halloween every year, if I did get to dress up, I had to dress up as myself from the Bible, which is just, don't do that to your kids. Don't do that to your kids. It does not help them make friends. It makes life at school tough for them. Nobody knows Jared from the Bible, or J-Red, if we pronouncing it correctly, but nobody knows who that is. And so that means I have to stop and explain myself why I'm wearing a cotton ball beard and a burlap sack as a shirt or whatever. So everybody that like, who the fuck are you? I'm not Moses. Nope, I'm not Moses. I don't have a staff, dog. Like, what? You know, you should have got that. But I got to explain. I'm J-Red from the Bible. I think grandfather of Methuselah, the oldest man in the Bible. I think Jared was the second oldest man in the Bible. Great-grandfather of Enoch, the man who never died. Just God came down and took him. Like, I remember this spiel because I had to give this spiel so many fucking times because nobody knew who the hell I was. And I don't know. Don't do that. Luckily, my daughter did not have that situation. She was Princess Peach. And so I got to go trick-or-treating with her, which was cool and not cool. One, I ended up being like the only dad walking around with a bunch of like soccer moms. I think they was walking around trying to come up with a band name for them as a group, as the mothers from this area. And it was like the Pflugerville mom. I forget Pflugerville neighborhood moms or something. They was coming up with band. It's like, I don't want to be here. Like, I don't want to participate in this conversation. I think at one point somebody was getting ready to dip off and get some wine and bring it back. I'm like, yeah, this is definitely not the spot for me. Like walking around in the cold in Pflugerville, an imaginary place, drinking wine with a bunch of women that I have no intention of doing. And I wasn't going to be drinking wine, but they drinking wine and yeah, whatever. It is what it is. But my daughter, to go with her Princess Peach costume, she decided to wear some heels. My mom bought her a princess costume, I think the year before, and it came with shoes that, they not heels, but they have a heel. So to her, like, it's her first pair of heels. And so she had to wear the heels to go with her costume. And she learned very quickly that was a dumbass idea. They walking around in heels for long periods of time, up and down heels, hurts. You know, the things that women do to be beautiful, and most of them unnecessary. But I think she learned that lesson. She wanted dad to carry her on his shoulders after her feet started hurting at a certain point. And the way my back works, pause, that wasn't going to happen. So we walked around for a while. She got her candy. She ran into a few houses that were too scary for her So I got to work with her on that. Like, it's Halloween. It's all fake. You dressed up. Why you think that's real? And then some people went all out. They had some real crazy fire pits and big-ass bird demons. It was weird stuff out there. Like, these people really went all out for the one day. And that ain't for me. But we went trick-or-treating. And I know at one point when my daughter told me that she was going to be Princess Peach for Halloween, I said to her she should get her stepdad. I was trying to set her stepdad up. My bad, Brinty. But I was trying to set stepdad up. I was like, you should get your stepdad to dress up as Bowser, and then y'all could walk around together, and he could sing the song. And her eyes lit up. She was like, yeah, that's what we should do. And when I went to the award ceremony and I ran into her, you know, her mom and her stepdad, I found out that they had not gotten the costume, so she wasn't going to have Bowser with her. So I wasn't dressed up, but at one point I decided, you know, I'm in the spirit. I'm out here hanging out with the soccer moms. I'm just going to play the role. And so I started singing the song, you know, Peach, you're so cool. Because I love that fucking song. That song go. Like, I can just, we would put that thing on repeat in the car. And just, that's a whole trip. Just on repeat. Peach. Peaches, 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 peaches. Like, that's my shit. So I'm singing the song. And she looks at me, and this is a moment that I've been waiting for since the moment I found out I was having a little girl. I've been waiting for this moment, and it's finally here. She looks at me, and she said, Dad, you're embarrassing me. And I was like, yes, 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 yes. And it's like, you have no idea. And I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going to share y'all a secret with y'all. She'll hear this whenever she hears it. But since the moment I knew I was having a little girl, my dream has been to, on her 16th birthday, I'm going to throw her the greatest Sweet 16 party of all time. It's going to be everything she wants. All her friends are going to be there. Whatever weird-ass cake she wants is going to be there. They can play K-pop or whatever. And we're going to do it up for your 16th birthday. And at some point in the party, me and whatever closest male friends I have, her stepdad could join in, you know, that'd be dope. I'm sure Chad would be there, and I'll find another person to join in with us. It's got to be, I think it got to be a 4 or 5-man group. I don't remember how many people was in the group. We're going to go with at least 4. But I'm going to get me a linen outfit. All my homies going to have to be in linen. We're going to get a fan to simulate the wind, and I am going to reenact in front of all her friends the Water Runs Dry video from Boyz II Men. It's been my plan for the longest time. And now that I know that singing in front of her embarrasses her, I am going to have the time. This is going to be so much better than whooping her ass in Mario Kart. She has no idea what embarrassment is. I can't wait. I can't fucking wait. Let's don't wait till the water runs. We might watch our whole lives. Like, I really, that's my favorite part. We might watch our whole lives. I can't wait. I'm going to be Wanye for sure. So I can do all that Stevie Wonder head shaking, nodding type shit. Like, I fucking can't wait. So if she thinks she was embarrassed on Halloween, strap in. It only gets worse from here. I've been waiting for this little girl. I've been waiting for this. It's going to be all the payback for every time I walked up here and it was something waiting for me in the toilet that wasn't supposed to be there. I am going. And I'm going to tell people those stories too. Because they're going to want to talk to me after I make this performance. And I'm going to tell them all these stories. I'm going to embarrass you in ways you can't possibly fathom, little girl. And I am going to have the time of my life doing it. It's a toxic trait. I know I'm extremely petty. It is what it is. But I have been waiting since the moment I found out I was going to be a dad for something like this. And now that I know I got a way to get to you, I'm going to have some fun. But on a good dad note, we spent the next day hanging out. She had a soccer game. Not the next day, but we spent the weekend hanging out. She had her soccer game. We went to one of her favorite restaurants for dinner. And she ordered broccoli. She ordered for herself, which was dope. And she ordered broccoli. And I felt, for some reason, that's not funny or anything interesting, but my daughter ordering broccoli made me feel like a good dad. And she ate the broccoli and a grilled cheese sandwich. even though she said it didn't look like bread. I don't know what the hell it looked like if it didn't look like bread, but to her it didn't look like bread. Does it taste like bread? Yes. Well, then it's bread. Eat it. 7-year-olds are weird. But that's the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am. Proud to be. I can't wait to embarrass the hell out of her. I am the way I am. God forgive me. But yeah, like I so speaking of embarrassment, I was the reason the episode is so late is that one, I was tired yesterday, and two, I didn't have an idea for content. I've been seeing a lot of posts recently, and I've been reposting them and things on Facebook about sobriety, because I'm a member of the recovery community. God willing, I'll be 5 years in February. And it's been a journey for me. I got some people that I'm working with now and friends I'm talking to try to help them through the process. And I know that sometimes, as much as I don't like talking about it, because I don't want to make this show about like being sober, I'd rather talk about my life as it is now as a reason to become sober, things like to show people it does get better. But sometimes you got to talk about the highs and the lows, as the Chance the Rapper song said. And so, yeah, I figured I would spend some time and just talk a little bit about, who I was as an alcoholic and how things have gotten better. And embarrassment is one of the things that came to the forefront of my mind, because that was, I think that's a huge part of any alcoholic's journey. Like you end up in a lot of embarrassing situations. The craziest part for me is like waking up from a blackout night and not knowing what you did, and pretty much having anybody, people can tell you did anything. Sometimes they got pictures to prove it, but people can tell you did anything, and you can't defend yourself. You now regret things you don't even remember doing. And that's just a crazy feeling. But like the embarrassment, I know when I was in that hotel room and I was making the decision that I didn't want to be here anymore, very much at the forefront of my mind was the idea that I was becoming an embarrassment to my little girl. Like, I didn't want, she was too young to really realize what her dad looked like at the time, and I didn't see myself changing, and I didn't want to be an embarrassment to her. And funny how times have changed. But I didn't want to be an embarrassment to her in that way. And so I thought the most merciful, loving thing I could do would be to get out the way so she didn't have to deal with that. And I understand, how embarrassing, having a substance abuse issue can be, and how off-putting that can make seeking help. Like, one, you got to admit to somebody, that you have this problem. And there's a lot of stigmas that come with that. There's a lot of talking and stuff that you're going to have to do. There's a lot of things you're going to have to face in front of somebody. And it's embarrassing. One of the coolest moments for me was, really like doing that. I speak from a step or 12 step, perspective, because 12 steps is what worked for me. I'm not saying that's the only way out, the only way to recover. But I can only talk about, my journey and what I did. And I know, like, I should know the steps at this point, but going through, all of the things I had did, and admitting, my wrongs, or admitting my mistakes to another human being, saying them out loud was a daunting task. And, one of the things my sponsor did for me before we went through that step was, he was like, man, first of all, there's nothing you could tell me that I haven't done worse. And then he laid some shit out for me. Like, he was like, let me tell you about some things I did, blah, blah, blah. And so, if you do ever need that kind of help and you step into that recovery community, especially if you're dealing with, the people that are supporting you as an addict are addicts, y'all would laugh about the dumb shit that you did, because anything you say, they got something worse, or they know something worse, or they know somebody who did something worse. And it's a load off your chest just to get that out and to not have to be embarrassed about who you were anymore because you're somebody better. That you can tell those stories as, this is who I get. The fact that a lot of things I could tell people now about what I've done and what I did back then, the stuff I can't remember doing that people had to tell me I did, people would, they wouldn't even believe it. Like, people wouldn't, they can't fathom who I am now acting that way. And that's, like, that takes all the embarrassment out of it for me, because I've obviously changed. And I think you can reach that point. But it takes facing it. It takes, you know, embracing the highs and the lows. There's a part in the 12-step program that talks about, you know, you'll reach a point where you don't regret your past and you see how it could be useful to others. Like, being able to talk about it and being able to say some of the things you did. I did some horrific things. I was just talking to wifey about the holidays are coming, New Year's parties. I remember being at one New Year's party, and it went so horribly bad. And it was another one of those blackout nights where I don't remember what I did or what I said. And I think the next morning I was told that I got so drunk that I ran around the party slapping all the women on the ass, telling them to tighten up. And that, if you, that's like so outside my personality, like, that's so outside of who I am. I have no idea where that come from. That's not even like, you know, a drunk person's mind speaking the truth, whereas the sober person wouldn't. If you'd asked me, that wasn't there. I don't know who that dude was. And if there's footage of it, I know I'll probably get canceled at some point. I can never be famous because I got too many skeletons in the closet. But I mean, I did some crazy things. I talked to people about, you know, coming home from being out of town for a month, leaving a bottle of vodka with no top on it, and fruit flies being all in it, and straining the fruit flies out so I could, you know, continue to drink. Like, I mean, I've done some crazy things, things that I'm not proud of, but I don't have to be embarrassed of anymore because I moved past it. So it's the greatest thing that I've probably ever done, you know, besides, you know, helping to make Chef Elise my all-A honor roll student. It's, I'm not going to belittle the accomplishment. She got all A's. It's dope. But greatest thing I've ever done, one of the hardest things I've ever done, but one of the hardest parts about it is getting past that embarrassment, getting past, you know, having to admit that stuff to someone to get the help that you need. But it's a necessary step, and it's not as daunting as it sounds. And it feels so much better on the other side. I think I've heard people say before, all the good things in life are on the other side of fear. And I promise you, this is one of those things that's on the other side of fear. If you can let the fear go and you can deal with the idea of being embarrassed, because when you get in the situation, you won't be, because you'll be talking to people who've done the same or worse. And they understand, and they just want to give you a moment to shed that for a second, to get that off your back, to not have to live with, man, if you only knew the crazy shit I used to do. Nah, I know, and you still my man, so let's go. What's good, you know? So the opportunity is there. I hope, you know, I know there's probably somebody listening right now who may have woken up from one of them nights that they don't remember and have regrets that they're not even aware of. It gets better. It can get better. Just got to make the choice. But with that being said, let's shout out this episode's sponsor, VitaZen Wellness. It's a supplement company. They have mushroom-based supplements, not the mushrooms you may be thinking of if you're talking about sobriety. But they got the ginkgo biloba, ashwagandha, which is great for anxiety, something I use very often, reishi. They got cordyceps. They got the hair, skin, and nails formulas. They got all kinds of stuff. They got your get right, and Lord knows you need it. So please hit up VitaZen Wellness. That's VitaZen Wellness.shopfront.live. Get your supplements. Get your get right. You know you need it. VitaZen works. Support Black businesses. Bomb. Whatever. I don't know. Also, again, check out Opulence Radio. You can catch me Friday nights, 8 to 10, doing the Kiss the Sky experience. I think that's what we're going to call it. You can catch me Tuesdays, 8 to 10, on the All on the Table Happy Hour. Like I said, a lot of other dope content creators are there putting great shows, great music. You're getting a lot of people's different musical tastes. It's a great place to be. So if you haven't downloaded the app yet, What the fuck are you waiting for? Get involved. Once again, support black businesses. But with that being said, I'm going to get out of here. I'm glad I finally got you guys an episode this week. I'm sorry I'm late. Try to remain consistent because y'all have definitely been supporting me and it means the world to me. But until we speak again, be easy, be safe, be the light, and know this, if you know nothing else, all the good things in life are on the other side of fear. You can get there. I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last rub, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.